Welcome to the Beer, Bourbon, and Board Game Podcast Show. Join Alec, Chris, Gary, and Will as we adventure into a basement in Richfield and review the games you love, drink the beers you crave, and brave the bourbons you seek. Made locally in Minnesota. Welcome to our show. All right, welcome back to the Beer Ploma Podcast Studio. I am here with the Beer, Bourbon, and Board Game crew. We have got Gary, Chris, and Alec, and myself, and we are getting ready to sit down to play Unlabeled. But before that, we just want to say welcome back. So we took kind of a brief hiatus there because of COVID, the holidays, yada, yada, yada. We have an episode that's sitting in the editing room that we're kind of waiting for a little bit of professional help with that still has to get out. But more on that.
The more professional, the better.
Yes, the more professional, the better. So it's beyond my ability to repair to say this, but it's a fun episode. So I can't give up on it.
Yeah, some of us are also waiting for professional help. That's another story.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So it's been since what, November or no, October since we had the whole gang together. So what have you guys been up to?
Well, I got married.
Woo-hoo. That's true. I was there.
I'm sorry. I mean, congrats.
Yep, she said yippee and agreed to watch me die slowly.
That's very kind of her.
Honestly, that's a really big ask.
I mean, like, how long of a time scale did you promise?
Did you have to sign a prenup to that time frame?
I don't know. I wasn't there for that.
I mean, there was, like, no medical history. Like, you know, is this like a 5-year thing? So, like, I don't know. But hey. Good on you, man.
Gary, how about you? What have you been up to?
Oh, mostly hanging out with kids and grandkids when I can manage it. It's been a lot of fun over the holidays and into the new year. Working. Lots of working.
Yeah, I feel you there. So,
ditto.
Working from home.
I don't know what that's like.
I realize that, but...
I know all too well.
I like in the naive times when I thought working from home would be fun.
Uh-uh.
Nope.
No.
For some reason, they won't let me bring home $1 million pieces of equipment to work at home with.
I can't imagine why.
I mean, shouldn't everybody have their own $1 million piece of equipment in their own basement? That'd be fun.
Yeah, I agree.
So, well, since none of you guys asked,
well, what are you doing, Will?
Yes, I have been busy putting together the 9th annual Brew Madness contest over at beerploma.com. So, but for 9 years, we've been putting on this March Madness style competition. We just got done with the preliminary rounds. We haven't announced who's going to make it onto the brackets quite yet, but just kind of in honor of the 9th annual Brew Madness season, I thought we'd go around the table and talk about some of the breweries that we really love in Minnesota and ones that we will be voting for when we hit the ballots coming up, starting within a couple of days here. So by the time you hear this podcast, we'll probably already be a week or two into Brew Madness, but I'm just kind of curious to hear some of the breweries that you guys think are like the Minnesota staples.
I'm going first. I'll jump right in. Venn, 100%. That's where I'm going.
Oh, Venn's got a three-way tie going on right now. So we're in the middle of the tiebreaker rounds, and they are in a tie right now with Insight and Arbiter for the 9th seed in the West Metro region.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. That's good. I was not expecting that.
That was totally unprompted too. You know, we go there quite a bit. It was a friend of ours introduced us to Venn, and just, I love their selection of beers. Everything is so unique. Like you go to some breweries, I'm not going to name names, but everything has either a very hoppy flavor or, you know, they kind of pick a branch and they just, everything kind of tastes like a different color of the same thing.
Yep.
With Venn, they do sours, which I know some people here love. Which my wife loves. They also do a great Belgian beer, which I like, and they do a lot of things in between. So
no, it's kind of funny because West Metro region, that was the region where all the breweries were so big they never wanted to have anything to do with this. I mean, like, what is Dangerous Man or Surly or Fair State, what do they need Beer Ploma's recognition in Brew Madness for? They don't. So they just don't care. So the breweries that make the list in the West Metro region all just get carried into it by the other three regions. I mean, it's always the caboose. It's just getting drugged behind the other three engines, except for this year. This is the very first year where we have, like, Falling Knife is new to the list. Forgotten Star is new to the list. Venn is new to the list. Prize has been on the list before, but not. They just never were able to make that breach. But, like, Arbiter is new. Unmapped, we switched over from the South region to the West region in order to help shake things up a little bit. So, but it's really good to see. This might be a very interesting region to watch this year.
So I'm going to go next because I've been going to Unmapped when I can swing it. I've been also trying to get out to other breweries, but Unmapped has become a quick favorite for us, in particular over the holidays with the nice selection that they have there. I just recently got a Russian Imperial Stout, a not political reference, but it was very tasty in my mind. My wife and I were of a difference of opinion on that, but I enjoyed it.
They have a really good one there.
Yeah.
Absolutely agree with you.
So
the choice I'm going to make is actually Roundhouse. And this is mainly due to the fact that I have been going up there now quite a bit recently to plan my wedding in a year and a half. And hopefully they'll be the ones who are going to be providing some kegs.
Now, when we were there, did you have their peanut butter and jelly beer?
Sam did.
Okay, yeah.
And I tried it and it wasn't for me, but I really enjoyed their Scotch ale.
Yes, you did enjoy their Scotch ale. Yeah, I remember I picked that one out for you.
Yes, I appreciate it, though I would have probably picked it out myself. They also had a Pilsner, I thought.
Yep, they did.
That was really tasty as well, and I'm hopefully going to be getting much more from them here soon, but it is a 2-hour drive, which makes it a little hard to keep going up there every week.
Yeah, all very good breweries, all good picks all around. So,
what about you? What have you been going to?
Well, first off, what haven't I been going to? At this point, I got to play neutral as the judge for the game, as the judge for the Brew Madness, and the person who like sees all of the numbers flowing in. It really would not be fair.
So you're saying that there's some sort of ethic in sports beer betting?
In my company, yes.
That's good to know.
$5 on Unmapped.
All right, Derek. Where's my money? I will say that Unmapped is one of the very few places that they won a regional championship in 2019. They are one of the very few breweries that actually have hung their certificate in the tap room for display. And a shout out, thank you to all the sponsors out there, Folly Coffee, Laker Promotion, Afric Sauce, and Firestick Pretzel. Really appreciate you guys helping out with the 9th annual Brew Madness. We couldn't run our website this year without you guys, so thank you guys very much for... So who's ready for some beer?
I'm here.
All right, so I figured for season 2, I would take the reins of Game Master from Gary here for one night, and I'm bringing up... And I'm bringing out a game that I've played before, and however, tonight I will not be participating outside of drinking and hosting, but it is a game called Unlabeled, the Blind Beer Tasting Game, and it is exactly what it says on the tin. We are going to be blind taste testing 7 beers. I think all of them, but one or two are from Minnesota, and then the other one I picked was just, it's such a fun style to talk about that I had to pick it. But anyway, so we've got a lot of great beers lined up here. And so how this game is played is everybody's got these little barrels, and we'll put some pictures out there on our Facebook group. So if you haven't joined the Beer, Bourbon, and Board Games podcast Facebook group yet, please do so. And you can get a sneak preview of some of the stuff that's going on here today. And you can also take a look at the games, and we'll put links out there too to where to buy this game from. So how this works is everybody's got these little keg-shaped pieces, these wooden pieces, and they all start in the middle. Then we come out with a beer. We're all going to sample that beer. We're going to talk about it a little bit. And then they have to try to make an educated guess. Now, the first tier of guessing is they can either try to guess what the alcohol content is or the fermentation style. That will lead to 1 point if they are correct. If they want to, they can go to the category, which is, you know, like India Pale Ale or Wheat Beer or Amber Ale or whatnot. And if they can guess the right category, they'll get 2 points. Then there is the beer type, which is basically each of the categories broken down. So you know, India Pale Ales obviously have American IPAs, double IPAs, English IPAs, and special IPAs. So if they can get that right, it's 3 points. And if they can name the beer exactly, it's 5 points for them. But remember, if they get it wrong, let's say they pick American IPA for their beer. Well, let's just say it ends up being a double IPA. They don't get the India Pale Ale points for getting the category right. They have forfeited that by trying to go for more points for all intent and purposes.
So one thing that I don't know really what to call you, since you're kind of navigating us through this game, I have 3 options what we could refer to you as today. So you're either the DM, the Drunken Master... the GM, the Growler Master, or the BM, the Beer Master. What would you like us to refer to you as today? I'm all in. Well, I think you know which one I vote for.
I think you're going to be voting for the BM, but not because it's the Beer Master.
I don't know. I just... I look at you, Will, and I know that you're a great BM.
So, well, just not Growler Master anymore, just because of the fact that Growlers actually are one of the most worst vessels for putting beer into.
Crowler enthusiast.
I am a Crowler enthusiast.
Yeah, CM doesn't work. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's not a gaming reference, sir.
But you're saying this is literally a drinking game.
Yes, so this is literally a drinking game. So between the four of us, we've got seven beers, so it's a beer and three quarters apiece.
The real question is, how does one cheat at the game?
Buying the beers and playing the game. Which is the reason why I'm stepping down.
So what is my character here? Am I like a wizard, or am I just gonna be I want to be an orc sorcerer?
You're please. A blue barrel.
Okay. Can I roll for initiative yet?
You can roll your...
You roll to your heart's content.
Awesome.
Here you go.
In front of me here, I have a book called Beer, What to Drink Next, the Beer Selectopedia. We're going to, after we are done tasting the beers, we'll have you guys make your decisions of where you think they need to go. Then we're going to kind of talk about that beer based on what's in this book. And we're going to see if you guys are picking up on those notes too. So we're going to use this as a chance to educate and sharpen our beer knowledge today. And we are also going to use it to have fun and drink.
Are we going to have a quiz?
There will be a quiz after, so please take notes.
Boo. Okay, so this is the part where Will leaves the table, goes to get the beer.
I think this would be really neat to take to a brewery and order a flight and say, surprise me, set up the board. And
it may depend on the brewery. Like I was commenting when I mentioned Venn and how they have a wide variety of beer types. Some breweries, again, not naming names, sell different colors of kind of the same flavor. They stick to a certain edge of this board.
Yeah.
So it might be tricky. I think having a catered list that somebody is, you know, picked a bunch of random stuff at their favorite, you know, local beer store would be a good way to play it.
It then would be more chances for a brewmaster.
I think the difficulty for this game is that the host of the game really can't play it because they know what they're bringing to the table, which is kind of what Will is dealing with.
It's the D&D thing. That's why I kind of went down that meme.
We have a solution to that. My wife, Steph, and I, we frequent France and 44th quite a bit, and we've gotten to know the people there very well. And so when I go in there, they have one of those mix your own six pack. And I basically just tell them, we want local beers, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa only. And they go and make our six pack for us. And then they wrap it up for us, charge us for it. And we head home. And then Steph and I would play this game together. We used to do this like every other Saturday night. So we found a way to do it. And there's a way to do it if you have a good liquor store around you that can pull that for you.
So are they wrapping them up all individually, like brown bagging it? Are you like...
No, I trust my wife enough to cheat, and I don't trust myself enough to not. So she puts it into a brown paper bag, opens it up in the bag, and then pours it out for each of us.
Okay.
I'm a competitive person, Will. I'm cutthroat at this game. I'm a win. So I don't trust myself.
Well, see, my problem is that once I see even just a corner of the label, I know exactly which beer it is if it's from Minnesota. So that... Where she doesn't. So that's, I can't pour the beers because once I see that label, even just a little tiny fraction of it, I know exactly which beer it is.
Pointed out the flaws with this game.
So yeah, that going back to that random thing where I got that D&D feeling for it, you have a host or that, you know, the DM in D&D or the GM in any other type of role-playing game. So here we have the BM. I like Brewmaster, you mentioned. We'll change that.
Yeah.
That's a good term for it. So now here in this game, there should be some type of brewmaster. They've catered a selection of beers that where maybe you throw in a couple weird ones, like talking weird, but some pretty okay ones.
Yeah, you know, this would be a case where the cherry pie beer from the first episode would be a wonderful choice in this one because I believe that one was from Iowa and what?
I might get that one.
Yeah, I believe that one was from Iowa, too, and quite interesting.
I don't see cherry pie on the board, so that is an expansion would be needed to support fruit-flavored beers.
Well, there is wild fermented sours.
Yes, there is.
So was that a lambic, though? I don't believe it was a sour.
So it might be helpful to break down kind of what styles are available on the board to pick from. I'm seeing on this side porter, stouts, pale ales, India pale ales, wheat beer.
All right, so normally I like to talk about strategy and tactics in a game, and I think the strategy here is just match the color. I'm staring at a board with a lot of different shades of yellow and tan, and then it goes into different shades of, let's call it sherry wood, and then darker espresso type wood.
Yep.
I don't know. You got some yellows, you got some oranges, and you got some reds and dark brown.
That is a very clean beer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, extremely clean.
Yep, very, very clean.
I see, I'm ready to rant about the history of this beer, but I can't.
I'm noticing it's very tan.
It is a very light beer.
Yeah.
I would say pale straw color.
Yep.
Would be the official.
And very clear.
I go out of the 8 box of Crayola, man.
Very clear. No haze whatsoever. Oh, yeah.
It had a very thin foam, so not a very thick head on it.
You wouldn't expect that from this style.
Oh, no. Way to give it away, sir. You just, way to play your cards.
It is very effervescent, though.
Yes.
It's very, it's a sharp but quickly receding effervescence.
Yes, I can agree with that. And
mm-hmm. That's a slight tingling on the tongue.
Sharp and receding like our hairlines. I just want to paint a word picture for our audience and kind of make them feel a little weird.
I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a hint.
It's yellow?
Yeah, light straw, I mean, clearly.
This one might be the closest thing we have to a curveball style.
I have made my choice, and I am probably wrong.
It's interesting. So Alec has decided to put it down in the beer type for trying to go for 3 points, and he has picked German Pils. And Chris is going with a pale lager.
Always bet on tan.
Which one are you going with there, Gary?
A blonde ale.
A blonde ale. Okay.
I'm nowhere near close, but it's close to me on the board.
I actually could see this as a blonde ale.
All right, so I'm going to give you guys a little bit of the tasting notes out of here, and let me know if you guys are picking up any of this, but we should be getting biscuity, slight fruitiness, very clean.
Yep, very slight fruitiness.
Now, here's the tricky part. Typically, it's brewed with Pilsner malts, and it is a very famous style from a German town.
Oh, is it a Kolsch?
So a little bit of history on this beer is that when lagers were starting to become all of the rage, absolutely, go ahead.
Okay, I reckless attack.
So when lagers were becoming all the rage, some of the towns kind of fought back with their own ale styles, which were easier and cheaper to produce. And so a couple of really weird hybrid styles kind of came out of that. The Kolsch was one of those styles. So Gary, you were the closest, even though you said you weren't going to be the closest, but you were.
What?
Yeah. This is Inbound Laser Loon Kolsch by Inbound out of Minneapolis.
So I don't think anybody scored any points on that one.
No, no, no. You got the closest, but unfortunately, if you had just gone one level higher.
Yeah, you know, I decided to go all in.
I will say this. I went with Will to the beer, what was that thing called again?
Winter Beer Dabbler.
Winter Beer Dabbler, and IPAs, when they are a slushy, are actually really, really, really tasty. And quite weird.
So this is one of the only beers that I picked that are not from Minnesota. I have a personal history with this beer, and I actually haven't seen it on shelf in a very long time. So I had to kind of pick this one up just because of the fact this is one of my gateway beers.
It's got a very nice scent to it.
Yes, it's very florally.
Even though it didn't smell hoppy, slight hoppiness in taste. We're looking at a reddish amber color.
I'm getting some caramel notes out of that. Are you guys picking that up?
Yep, I'm getting a little caramel with that, too. It's kind of a linger to it.
Gary,
I'm hedging my bet on this one a little bit by picking a category.
You're not wrong on your category, I think.
Yeah, but I can also see it very easily being an amber lager, given the concerns that we have about shelf.
I punted on this one. I couldn't make a decision between an amber, between a lager or an ale. I could go either way on this. I didn't get brown ale vibes, so I didn't want to go that way.
It's got a little kick to it.
You're not wrong. You weren't wrong.
Yeah.
So, toasty.
Yep.
Caramely actually does come up as one of the tasting notes on this one. Fruity.
Yeah. So
that seems more like an opinion than a tasting note.
And the reason why I can tell this isn't more that brown ale range of beer is I typically don't care for those. So I can pick up on that real quick. Sometimes, you know, not only do you know kind of what you like, but you also know what you don't like.
Yeah.
And you learn that flavor profile pretty well. So not malty, not too much of that brown ale flavor. And then I could not make a decision between lager or ale based on color and taste. I punted and I went for ABV. I'm hoping it's above 4.1.
It's got a little kick to it.
Kind of wishing I would have gone for the ale because I am now getting the hoppy taste on the tail end.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't earlier.
Yeah. So that's where I was going to go. I didn't get any malty flavor, touch of hops. I couldn't make a decision either way. And then they get really into some areas or categories of beer I'm not very familiar with. So my vote was between 4.1 and 6% ABV. I think that's a pretty safe bet. And so hopefully it can get on the board.
Well, this one was the other curveball.
Hey, you said no curveballs.
Well, as close to as curveballs I'm getting tonight. This is actually the exact opposite of a Kolsch, where the Kolsch is an ale with lager elements. This is a lager with ale elements. And it is one of the very few beer styles that don't really trace their heritage back to a German or European style. It is distinctively American. And without further ado, I'm going to reveal that Anchor Steam Beer, which is a Californian common. So we have points on the board. Whoever is green just scored 2 points.
Hey! Oh,
so close.
Now, that being said,
what's the ABV?
What is the ABV?
Because I think
we're going to have a judge's ruling on this. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, it's not 3-2, so it just has to be anything above 4.
It is. Actually, we have an additional point. It is a 4.9.
There we go. Yeah, woo! We got some points on the board today. All right, so you guys go ahead and move your point cubes up to where you need to go to.
Oh, good, that's cruel. I can't do that. So, well, I'm thinking every time we go to a history part of the podcast, so we should have some sort of kind of Sands of Time special effect come into play. Or pages fluttering past.
It's a little funk, but not oppressive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
I think we all remember that time. We've smelled worse.
It's got a slight haze to it.
Yes.
So overall, lighter in color than the other ones we've drank, but no. Yeah, hazier.
No, this is darker than the first one.
Really? Yep. No, I think this is not light straw. This is lighter. Hazier, but I want to say lighter in color. Gary was doing something profound to the mic. I just was staring in awe.
Will has been playing with our heads on this.
I don't really disagree with you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I realized by playing this, I'm really bad about identifying what type of beer things are, even by color. I'm decent at identifying ABV, so I think I found the metagame in this one.
Gary is attempting to look through the glass to try to match the colors.
Yeah, now we're just matching paint swatches. Like,
I will tell you that the color was almost a dead giveaway to the style of beer this is.
I'm going zero.
Isn't a wheat beer. So wheats, I like...
Gary just chose a wheat beer as...
Gary, bold move, man. Bold move. Are you rolling those D20s in your head again?
Hey, yes. You know, you do what you got to do.
We've all identified who's not the bard in the group. Because the bard would be the one who drank the most.
Tell me on why it isn't.
So, in my experience with wheat beers, it's usually they are sweeter.
Definitely not a sweeter beer.
Fruitier. I would say the word is fruitier. They're going to have more banana-y tones to it.
Yes.
Wheat, depending on the wheat, I like Belgian-style wheat beers, and so they have a more orange peel and clove
profile. Fruity. Orange is a fruit.
Yes, it is fruity, but I'm going specifically orange, not necessarily banana. Wrong fruit.
He has changed his mind to a pilsner.
Not a strong malt flavor, not strong hop.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Really light, little haze. I'm sure the comment section is screaming at us right now, calling us idiots.
Yes.
It hurts my feelings. You're not wrong, though. I mean, where's the lie? It hurts inside, deeply, which is why I'm playing this game.
I think Will has thrown in another tricky beer.
Just put me back on the ABV thing. I'm a punk. No, dear gosh, not 10. Jeez.
All I know is I can't go lower than my current score, so... I think that's the Pilsner corner.
Alec and Gary, this whole game, have been playing opposite sides of the flavor board. It's fantastic, and I'm just going, I'm scoring points!
So are we ready to unveil this one?
Yes.
All right, so hold on. Before you reveal, our choices are Gary has chosen the Pilsners, Chris has chosen the 4.1 to 6%, and I have chosen the American Pale Ale.
And almost was ready to declare the name, but...
I'm gonna tell you guys what I saw right away when I saw the beer. Was the color should have narrowed it down to like 3 choices, and that would be the Pilsners or a Kolsch. And since I'm probably not going to throw 2 Kolsches at you at once, that leaves you down to 1 just based on the color.
So
color was a very Pilsnery color.
I have to say, and when I was rolling D20s in my head, well, I failed my intelligence check. So I'm sorry.
So that one was Fair State Brewing Co-op's Pilsner, which was a 4.9 beer. So we got a point for Chris and 2 points for Gary at 2 points apiece.
And that's 0 for Alec. Womp womp.
You're welcome, Gary. I talked you out of the wheat.
We're like, both of us.
I thought it was a little not hazy enough for a to be a wheat. So I was really kind of waffly on it anyways.
That's quite the aroma.
This should be, you guys should at least be able to get the category on this
one. A whole heap of hops whacking me in the in the face.
Yep. I'm going to jump in there. So this does have a chewier mouthfeel to it.
Yeah.
It is a little bit on the sweeter side, but the hoppiness, instead of having that very floral, fruity bouquet, it's much drier. Officially, I'm just going to give you guys a tasting notes because it really doesn't change your mind on what it is. So you should be getting earthy, absolutely getting earthy out of this.
Yeah.
Bitter, getting that.
Yeah.
Spicy, I am getting a tidge of that, just a smidge.
I get it a little bit on the
herbal.
You know, if I'm going to go the easy route, I'll do the 6.1 to 9. I think this does go above 6. Yeah, metagame. You guys, okay, so what I'm looking at on the board here, playing the game, not the beer, is both Gary and Alec have gone in on an India Pale Ale style. I don't know. I'm not quite convinced. And the reason for that is the amount of, let's just say, particulate in the beer. At least...
American hazy beers have particulate.
Oh, yeah. No.
IPAs can be very hazy.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that is not out of the realm of what an IPA can do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
this is hazy. It's definitely an IPA.
Yes.
Yeah. If I had to guess something, I would go wheat beer, but I'm just going to, again, I'll go for the point.
It's not a wheat.
I actually think that your play style with just going for the ABV is probably the strongest way to consistently get points.
Yeah, playing the game. Again, I'm trying to play the game along with you guys, but as far as scoring points, I just kind of punt.
Well, and don't forget, you can do it on the fermentation style. Like, if you can guess if it's an ale or a lager.
I really thought I knew, but honestly...
Can I open up the chest?
Please do.
Okay, I will say that everybody scored points on this round.
So Gary has the correct choice of it being an American
IPA. This is one of the most underrated breweries in the Duluth area. It is Blacklist, and they have finally made their traditional American IPA called Finally We Got Our IPA. It is a 7.2.
Okay.
So you'd got your points over there.
What's that scoring profile that we have here?
Being the person who said that they were going to lose is currently winning at 5 points.
What, you want to give us the rundown of the score there?
Gary is at 5 points. Chris is at
3 points.
Fairly consistently, getting 1 point a turn. And I am at a rip-roaring 4.
I like how this game is like, try to guess the exact beer style this is. And Will has thrown out like every beer at us. Well, it's like, it could be these two. Oh yeah, well, these ones don't really like adhere to a certain style. Thanks, Will. Oh, well,
I'm just trying to help you guys learn a little bit more about beer.
Oh,
Gary for the big play. He's not... Okay.
Okay, Grandpa Beer Daddy.
So he's not only specified the type of beer or the... Wait, what is it? The family beer? He's gone for the exact type of beer.
No. He's going for the exact name of the beer.
Yeah.
No. I'm not going for the name of the beer because... No.
Oh, you seemed really confident. You're like, all right, Will, and then you put it on exact beer.
So I'm just I'm going to give you guys the tasting notes.
Because we're so bad at this game.
No, you're not. You guys are doing really good.
Oh, yeah. I got 3 points. I'm doing great, Will. Thank you.
Sweet. And I'm definitely getting that.
Yeah, definitely sweet.
Caramely. And malty. Definitely malty. Not on the hoppy side at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Balanced.
I'm getting beer flavored.
But clean. And that's that last one is what differentiates it from the other style I get it confused with.
But I'm waiting until... Chris chooses, so he doesn't choose one of my additional styles that I'm thinking
cute.
It is.
You think I'm still going the style? Like, I'll go for a style?
No, you're going to go with 9%.
Yeah, if I were to start to play the rule out game, ruling out Indian Pale Ale, ruling out wheat beer, and so I get a Pale Lager, Pale Ale type situation again, and I don't know what side of the board to play. And the only thing I can bring to the table is there is some alcohol content in the drink. Yeah. Darn, this really kind of exposes your weak spots when it comes to like identifying a beer.
Yeah.
And maybe this is an education and just like, you think you know your shit? Well, guess what? You're shit.
You want to know something?
You know what? You found the board.
See, I get into that space where I'm in the same headspace as Chris, where I got to play the game. And so I go for the guaranteed points that I know. And so like, I can tell that it's an India Pale, but I can't discern if it's like in an American or in English. And so I go for the guaranteed points where she takes that risk and that's where she gets it.
My question I was going to ask you is this one from Unmapped?
No.
That's metagaming, sir. We don't allow metagaming at this table. Okay.
I think that's called cheating.
But I'm starting to understand that this is one of your beer styles.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to get into the like mind of your character, okay? Is that something that you, Alec, would know, or you, the person who's playing this game, knows?
Alec, the beer drinker, would he know?
Yeah, would he know? Don't break character. That's not cool.
No, I seriously have this narrowed down to one of three choices. And I am just waiting on Chris here to actually make a choice.
Oh, God, I'm the only one who hasn't made a choice?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to go over here. Little CP sip. Okay, yeah, I'm safe. I've determined there's alcohol in this beer.
So the three I'm narrowed it down to is it's either an American strong ale, an American pale, or...
Not an ale.
Amber ale.
Not an ale.
So why did you put it in ale?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Or it's and Will a, just realized who's playing the game and what color pieces everybody is. Thanks, Will. You're
the
good
least
DM.
Likely one on this one, I think, is an American brown ale.
I'm not... Okay, all right. I may disagree with that assessment only because I'm not getting a lot of malty flavor, but if there is malt, very light and well-balanced, because...
It makes me wonder... it makes me think that it is an American...
If there is malt, it's a clean malt, and it ends light versus ending heavy and syrupy.
Yeah.
Where... Or that weird malt bitterness, thickness can come in.
Yeah. I don't know if it was either an amber or a strong.
Gary, you would have had some points if you would have left it in your original position.
Probably.
Oh, it is Northern Standard Amber Lager by Fulton. It was too clean to not be a lager.
Yeah.
Too clean.
And the color is what pushed me the other way.
Yep. And this is a 4.5.
And I successfully talked myself into the only person who scored points that round.
And I was deceived by a pretty beer.
Aren't we all, man? Aren't we all?
You know, this game, I could see we're playing it on kind of a light flight-based mode. You could easily play this on hard mode with full bottles or cans.
You know. What you could do with this is it's a social enough game. Like, there's not a lot of strategy here. I'm trying to pretend there is by just getting the single point. Yeah, for the people who don't know anything about beer, you can just get the single point and actually be pretty competitive. People who want to think they know more about beer can try to go for more points, and they're probably not going to get many. He's a good brewmaster. So you need a brewmaster, and that would be the person hosting. Basically, whoever has the nicest apartment in your 20s is going to be the brewmaster.
I can't disagree with you.
And then you invite all the people in high school that wouldn't hang out with you, and you play the game, and maybe you become friends.
We have another challenge beer here.
So I'm going to say that this is a beer that has recently changed styles. It used to be a different style, but now the brewery is brewing it as a different style. But this is a classic throwback version. So this is the original style.
It's a light-colored beer with mild haze.
The tasting notes on this one is dry, yes. Citrusy, yes. Spicy,
yes.
Peppery, slight hoppiness to it.
Yep. Yeah,
I always like to say that it's kind of got barnyard funk.
I'm going to wait to make my play until Chris has done his. Guys, he's the real competition here.
So what did you pick, Alec?
I chose Wild Fermented.
Wild Fermented.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay, we didn't paint a word picture. So what I'm looking at is something in the neighborhood of like a cloudy blonde, like a blonde. If you're to equate it to hair color, the beach... Like the nice, you know, lady with the nice tan, with the bleached blonde hair, with the or less awkward. I don't know, a darker colored lemonade.
See, I was gonna go that route, and that's why I chose the fermentation style because you know what, I'm gonna be different.
So wait, okay, so we haven't played the fermentation style game. So what are the options on the fermentation style?
We have top fermented ales.
Go ahead.
I can't read the rest of them.
The bottom fermented lagers, wild fermented, and barrel aged.
Okay, so wait, why did you go wild? I'm not getting the wild bit. Okay, but again, when I interpret the wild...
It's not an ale wild, and it's not a lager.
The wild for me is typically that lambic, that very like extreme fruitiness or extreme sourness. And so that's what I interpret as the wild fermentation style, but maybe that's my you know, I've only had a small sampling of that style.
I looked at it from the standpoint of that it wasn't a lager and it wasn't an ale in my mind.
Okay.
And it's not barrel-aged. That also being said... I am fully prepared to be wrong on this one.
Okay, so this is the mommy and daddy are fighting again between lager and ale comment that has been going on throughout the entire game.
No, I think Gary actually has this right as it is a wheat beer.
Okay.
So are you settled in there?
All right, we're...
Let him do it.
I'm following...
Oh my God, everything's going all over the place.
I'm opening it. Are we ready?
All right, what do we got?
Okay, so if you would have left yours at Wild Fermented, you would have gotten a point on that one.
Ha-ha!
But this is Farm Girl Saisons. It's brewed with original peel, but because it's a Saison, that makes it a wild fermented, even though they technically brew it as an ale, but Saisons are wild fermented, traditionally.
So I was right there.
Wild fermented usually means that there is a bacterial element to it.
Mm-hmm.
They are still using the bacteria, that usually would come under the wild fermented one, they're just not, they're just controlling it way better at Lethbridge.
So would the wild fermented then be with the bacterial one, the funk that we are getting off of this beer?
It's because, yeah, you're getting that funk off of that bacterial flavor.
Okay.
So I was correct that it was something different.
Yes, it was not it was not fully fermented on yeast. There was other fermentables or fermenting agents within that beer.
So the Saisons fits clearly in the pale ale category.
You're saying is I would have gained a point. Everybody tied up again.
Well, it looks like two people are behind, so.
No, no.
Well, no.
We are now.
We got a solid incremental win by Chris.
So we are. We would have been at another three-way tie.
All right. We're on to our last beer for tonight.
Oh, dude.
Making this a challenge.
I want to say this might be a dark chocolate. It's definitely got the dark or the chocolate notes.
Yeah, I was like, is that chocolate? Is it peanut butter? Is it peanut buttery chocolate? Is it Nutella?
I don't know. It's nibs. Chocolate nibs.
Chocolate nibs? Okay.
Well, you also have to remember that there is a type of malt out there used in the brewing world, used to brew certain styles of beers that are, it's called chocolate malt. There's no chocolate in it, but it imparts a chocolatey taste.
And I would have gone more coffee.
Yeah, yes, that's what I'm getting. Yeah.
And coffee, too.
Absolutely.
Coffee is the other one that you would get out of those same malts.
Can I wake up with this beer in the morning?
This is surprisingly outside of my realm on beers that I like, but I like this beer.
I've determined there is alcohol in here. Something else where I can't determine if it's more chocolate or coffee or that weird peanut butter, like a peanut buttery nuttiness. There's something in it. It's just kind of like pinging back and forth between all those things. Maybe it's that barrel age that's also.
I'm not getting the nutty peanut buttery on this one.
No, I'm not getting that at all.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, Chris.
I'm getting definitely the.
It's a hill I'm going to die on.
I get the coffee more on the. The breath afterwards.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like it's going for a coffee flavor to it. It's just kind of heavy with that.
So I think Will is correct that this is that type of malt.
Yep. It's malty, but it has that sweet smell. So imagine something like a coffee with a fair amount of sugar in it. It's like that sweet coffee. So that sweet and that nut a bit, that's where I went peanut butter initially, because that's typically like that sweet nutty flavor. Maybe I'm leaning more towards that coffee.
Want to go all in on this one?
I don't know. Again, I can narrow it down to two. Stout or porter, clearly.
So basically, the difference between a stout and a porter is just a lighter stout, and actually that line is super blurred. Yep. One brewery might call a beer a porter, and while the other brewery making the exact same recipe would call it a stout.
Mm-hmm.
But this one definitely is so far across that line.
I'm just going what they're usually advertised as, and when I have bought something that has this type of flavor profile, it typically is advertised more on the porter side of things because porters tend to be that more expressive area where a brewery will try to throw in a flavor, where a stout will be something they try to express a smooth, deep brew.
Yeah, I just don't know those well enough to.
So because of the flavor profile here, I am skeptical. Looking at the board, I see that both of you have gone for a very specific beer type. Yep. And based on the flavor profile here, I would kudos to you guys for being that exact on it. And seeing Gary's choice, definitely have tasted some Imperial Porters that have had that type of, again, talking about porters being flavored. Definitely.
Imperial Stout.
Oh, Imperial Stout. Oh, okay. I didn't see exactly where that line went over. That's, Imperial Stout.
Will's comment about the blur between porter and stout, it really is blurry.
When I have
this one for me really, while there are some of those styles that do blur the line, this one for me is very much entrenched on one side of that fence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. So I see that even though it's the stout versus porter side, it's a wide range of stout and a very narrow section of porter. Yeah, I think both of you guys have a chance of getting it right. Again, I'm just going to punt. I'm going to go with ABV. Put me on 4.1 to 6.
Really? I can actually see this being a little bit higher.
You know, again, I can narrow it down in the rough area of it. And I think where we get we can have like some philosophical conversations is what beers are advertised as. And the brewery methods of what you get, like liquid in the can, can be different. So there's a bit of that. Where this lies exactly, it's hard for me to commit to one way or the other.
I think this might be a little bit higher.
I can actually
see this being a 6.5 to 7.
Darn, yeah, I don't know. And maybe at this point I'm becoming too accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've convinced me. You know what? Hey, heck, bump me up. You know what? I'll try to take the hit here. You're right. When I've seen, at least again, advertised wise, porters and stouts tend to be able to support a different type of yeast that, yep, that warrants a higher ABV. But the point, I believe, of the game would be to have this type of conversation.
Yeah.
It isn't necessarily like try to ram through round after round and try to get the highest score. Yeah, score at the end of it is kind of cool. But at the end of it, it's just to try to drink a bunch of fun stuff with buddies. And, mm-hmm, and you know, you've matured beyond the introductory drinking games that we all played in grade school, right?
Yeah, I mean, don't involve quarters.
But you know the part that we all you know, dabbled on earlier, drinking Jenga. I brought up, you know, just the game that you play with the cheapest cruddy beer ever, and you know the point is to just kind of like have a couple giggles with friends. I think this is an evolution of that. You're a little older, a little bit more sophisticated. You like doing beer flights, and you like friends.
Yep.
So
there
you would
lots
do this
of different
game.
Tastes of beer to try.
Oh,
this is a way of exploring that.
Again, I totally agree. You would have your friend with the nicest apartment. Maybe they host. Have your friend with the weird esoteric taste in beers. Thankfully, Will is our friend. With that, you have them bring this game with a bunch of beers. Maybe you have another friend who worked in food services for a bit who can do some cooking. I think this would be a fun night.
I agree. So just real quickly, here are the tasting notes for this one. Chocolatey, soft, rich, smooth, and creamy.
Oh, if this is an oatmeal stout, I'm going to be really irritated.
Not an oatmeal stout that I tasted.
I don't believe it would be.
All right, well,
Will is giving me the death stare. I'm changing my thing to an oatmeal stout.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a psych out. Oh, my God. You fell for it.
I'm going to the oatmeal stout.
The box, Will. The box. Open the box.
What's in the box?
Earth Riders Tower Stout, and it is an oatmeal stout.
Yes!
Oh! Claim shenanigans.
By the way, it is a 6.0.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It's all right. It's all right. It was really close. It was
the value is 4.1 to 6.0.
All right. Okay. We have to score this mess.
It's all right. I'm okay with that.
Chris advances 0.
Yep.
Gary advances 0. Alec advances
3.
3.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, and gets the grand win at 7 points. Chris's and Gary's 5.
Now 3 out of 4 podcasts, you've won the game. Okay, guys, get the baseball bats. Let's beat them in the back alley.
Okay, I think the one that surprised me, though. Okay, if you were going to say the one that threw you for the biggest curve, which one would you have to point out?
I would actually say the Farm Girl was the one that threw me through the biggest curve, which was the second to last one.
Okay.
And the one that really did it beforehand would have been the first one we did, which was the Inbound Loon. Lazy Loon.
For me, it would be the the Blacklist IPA. And that was the one I was convinced that was going to be bottle-aged because of the particulate that was in the beer, the unfiltered nature of it. I was really surprised that it was in a can. And the fact that you can get that type of beer in a can is awesome. It's a credit to what they did. You know, let you know, our amateur armchair expert, you know, comments aside, the fact that you can have that type of typically bottle-fermented beer flavor or experience in a can is amazing and a credit to that brewery.
I would agree with you there. And I'm usually, when it comes to IPAs, I like them especially cold. And that one was really enjoyable. I'm not one to shy away from IPAs, but I would not have picked that one up if it wasn't for this program. And frankly, I see a couple of these ones going to be in my fridge here pretty quick.
So, and that might be part of the overall fun for the person doing the lineup of beers, you know, in secret. You know, having the fun, maybe you throw in a mean beer because you know what? At the end, they're your friends. You got to throw in some crap in there.
You know,
just to throw them off.
The other part is...
But then what you also want to do... I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But what you also want to do then is also have that one or two beers maybe that is something that you love, you enjoy, that you can kind of slip in there to just kind of test it out, see what people think, get their feedback on it, and maybe you find something that they like and surprises them.
I actually think that what would be really interesting with this game, if you buy all these as six packs, if you've got 4 or 5 people that you're playing this with, you send them home with a six pack of all the beers that you just played with, and they could mix and match, trade which other people were the ones that they liked better. But end of the day, you're walking home with beers that you're probably going to enjoy for the rest of the week or even the next day or two.
Oh, man, and you know what? So on that note, like taking some stuff home, and maybe this game is set up almost potluck style.
Yeah.
Everybody who comes to the game brings a six pack of a mystery beer and assigns, you know, gives it to the person who's organizing
it. Yeah, the beer master.
Yeah, the beer master, the BM. You don't know where your beer is going to be mixed in, and maybe you get your own beer right, maybe you don't.
Hopefully you can score a point or two on your own beer.
Yeah, you theoretically, you know, if you've brought a beer and you know what it is, theoretically, you should be able to go all. Everybody should have a chance to go all in and get their 5 points and call it a day. But I bet nobody will be able to.
You know, that's actually how they recommend playing. Is that everybody brings a couple of beers, and for their beers, they host that beer.
Well, I would like to thank Will for getting a nice collection of beers, which was fun to go through and try out the different types and work our way around the game board with what was available for options.
Yeah,
I think the Earthrider Oatmeal Stout was a bit of a stinger for me because it was familiar enough that I tied it in with a different stout that I'm drinking right now.
Probably going to go out and buy it.
It is good. I've had that in a six pack before, and it was really quite tasty.
You know, if I were to try anything, I would probably try anything from the Blacklist Brewing Company. Because
they're so underrated. I don't know why. When people come up with like their top five from Duluth, it's Hoops and Ursa Minor and Bent Paddle and Castle Danger, and they all deserve to be on that list by far and away. But the one unsung hero of Duluth, Blacklist. And yeah, as a Belgian drinker like you are, that should be your go-to brewery.
Yeah, like I said, I was convinced that this was going to be a bottle-aged, like nice glass bottle aged beer, and the fact you pulled out a can, I'm in. Like you can't, because the bottle fermented beers, I'm a sucker for those. Like a Le Fin de Mon, a Delirium Tremens, I love those things. It's a great conversation starter to bring. Mm-hmm. But there's the price, and then there's the size involved.
Yes,
like they are big, and they're like $10 or more. Like at least with me drinking like by myself, sad and alone in my basement, I don't want to have like an entire bottle of that to myself. So having something like this in a can, that's accessible. Like I can make some burgers and have something that literally tastes like something that came out of a bottle in a can.
So another great way to play this game would be to take it to your favorite brew pub, have them give you a random flight of beers, and then play the game.
I agree.
This wouldn't be beer, bourbon, and board games if we didn't hit that second B there. So
tonight we are giving a try to Basil and Hayden, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, artfully aged by the James B. Beam Distillery Company.
Is that the same as the Jim Beam Distillery? Or, like, are they related?
I don't know. I don't know my distilleries very well, but regardless, we're going to do a little pouring, and actually I'm going to ask Will to pour this because I'm going to end up dumping it with the microphone in my way.
Now, so this has got a really good oak smell.
Yep. Give it a good inhale.
Okay, there's definitely booze in here.
A little shout out to my wife for picking this one.
The fact that he's actually drinking this, though, I got to give you props, Chris. I mean, you were so adamant about not drinking whiskey the first three episodes.
It's totally cool, dude. It's great. I love this stuff.
There are some tasting notes with this one. So we're supposed to be getting sweet brown sugars, mm-hmm, black pepper, charred oak with a dried fruit finish.
I think it very much hits those.
I love the pepper on this one.
Mm-hmm. Got a nice little tingle to it.
Mm-hmm. So this was 80 proof?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It has a nice bouquet to it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's, you can smell it as you bring it up to your nose. You don't have to put your nose right into it.
Mm-hmm. It definitely has that peppery flavor.
So I'm missing that brown sugar.
Wait, is it a single malt? Is that what you mean by blended? Because it's blended?
Blended whiskey means that you have
multiple different types.
Multiple barrels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And they mix it together by the head distiller of the, I believe it's a head distiller, I should say, distillery, to get a get a flavor that is more consistent. So when you're making whiskey, every barrel tastes different.
Because barrel stays different.
Yeah, it's just the process of the distilling. Every barrel is different. Every piece of wood is different.
Mm-hmm. It's wood. It's more, we're more nerdy IT people.
Yep.
Where, you know, it's not a scientifically controlled process. And not to discount beer, but that's much more brewed at this temp for this long, add these ingredients at this time, get end product situation. This is a go through some science, but then let it sit for 10, 15, 20 years.
And I really do like the way this one is smooth. It's got that light pepper taste, but it also kind of disappears. It's not like
some bourbons. This one does not linger. You're right.
No, it's not like some bourbons will hit you and you'll be wearing that for the next day or two.
Honestly, cannot find if this is a single barrel or a blended, but my guess is it's a blended because
most whiskeys are blended.
Yeah, and it's consistency in the flavor.
It would be a nice match with some cheeses.
Oh yeah.
So okay, here's a good tidbit of information. So I noticed on the label that it says Kentucky Straight. Do any of you guys know what Kentucky Straight means?
Style of bourbon, and it has to have, I believe it is 60% corn and 30 to 40% wheat and up to 10% rye.
The mash must be at least 80% corn and aged with using uncharred barrels first. But then when it's blended, you can blend down to 51% corn grain. Here, I learned something new today. Yeah.
So I will say that this is one of the ones that I generally will keep on my shelf. And of the six whiskeys that I will go through rotating bottles, this is definitely one of the ones that I frequent.
Yep, it's going to definitely stay on our shelves for a bit as we can find it. And part of my goal is to find a number of mid-price, mid-shelf bourbons that can rotate through. This is good.
Yeah, this is for, I would like to do this one on a like a whiskey Coke type thing. That's I'm sorry, it's how I like my whiskey. I can't do it straight like that very much.
I find this to be a light, refreshing bourbon that is very easy to drink, very smooth, and something I would be more than happy to share with guests. Personally, wouldn't be inclined to mix it because it's on that light side, so you're not going to get a lot of flavor of that necessarily in your drink, depend on your drink. So
thanks for joining us for this episode. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you are listening to this on, and be sure to visit us on Facebook under the Beer, Bourbon, and Board Game Podcast Show Facebook group, because we wanted to keep this open and interactive for all of you. And also don't forget that we have our 9th annual Brew Madness event happening right now over at beerploma.com. Thanks for joining us. Prost! Thank you for joining us on the Beer, Bourbon, and Board Game Podcast Show. Join our Facebook group and let us know what games you want us to review next, and stay up to date on future episodes. The Beer, Bourbon, and Board Game Podcast Show is part of the Beer Ploma Podcast Network. Join Beer Ploma on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Untappd under Beer Ploma to stay up to date on all of our podcast shows. Beer Ploma LLC advocates drinking responsibly and never drink and drive. Thanks again for joining us. Prost.
He put the most vile beast in front of me. A unicorn.
Are you kidding? I give you Barnyard Funk and you're gonna drop that?
I can't think half straight. I just sniffed my microphone.
I've destroyed more backgammon boards over gin and tonics than you can count.
That is like the oldest but yet coolest thing you've said yet.